Therefore Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full." Over to Revelation. "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.'" May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
So it was read there on John 10 and also in Revelation. Tonight we'll be talking about life to the fullest that only Jesus Christ brings us. So John's gospel is all about salvation through a relationship with Jesus Christ. John 10 is one of the most theological chapters in this gospel. Here, the Lord Jesus has entered an intense period of conflict and opposition to his ministry, and his enemies analyzed every word with the intention of punishment. They were after him. He was on to something big, so he repeatedly alienated the Pharisees and yet drew his own flock closer to him with teaching lessons just like this one, where the audience could certainly identify with a relational metaphor based on shepherds and sheep. Jesus explained that his disciples must follow him as a sheep follow their shepherd. So Jesus uses the example of a shepherd and how his sheep pen was a place of security for his sheep, not a place for intruders. It was a safe place for the animals. The place would be carefully chosen and would be like a little fortress surrounded with a high stone fence or wall and perhaps topped with vines. The entrance would have been the only break in the wall. Once the sheep were safely inside, what the shepherd would do, he would lie down across the opening and would protect the sheep with his own life. In addition to protect the sheep, the good shepherd provided for them. Unlike thieves who steal and kill and destroy, throwing aside the metaphor to reveal spiritual truth, Jesus tells us, his sheep today, that he had come to give life so we might live it to the full. In our text here in John chapter 10, the shepherd alone determined who may enter the fold. He guards the sheep, provides for them, and cares for them. This genuine shelter shows the difference between a true shepherd and someone just hired to watch the place. The shepherd would not only protect his sheep, but he would know them. He would call them by their name. He would lead and guide them. Can you have that picture on your mind? They would listen only to his voice. They would never listen to a stranger. And that's so cool. I don't know if you have a chance to have seen that, but it's so cool that the animals will recognize only their protector. Part A on verse 10, it tells us that the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. This is interesting because people do not and will not question it. If we go around saying this, they will certainly agree. Even if we say, if you tell them it's written in the Bible, they don't like it, but that's what they expect. You don't hear someone saying, a thief broke into my house and left me $100,000 cash, right? So that doesn't happen because of why? A thief comes to steal. So here, Jesus is talking about a very shrewd, a very sleek individual, the one who wants to take you away from your relationship with God. So he can, not will, steal the work of God in your life. He can encourage you that you don't need help, as you are capable to do good on your own, to work your best, trying to be good enough to please yourself. Emphasizing your work, your abilities, your capability, rather than recognizing God's work on your life. Second thing is, he comes to kill. The devil is clever. He will not come to you saying, I'll kill you. No, what he will do? He will not say, I will steal from you. I will steal all that you have. I will destroy your life, your family, and your relationships. No, that wouldn't be a good ministry for him. What does he do? He lies. He will first give you some pleasure, make you just chill and be content with the way things are on your life. It's all good. Life is good. Family is good. Church once a week is perfect. You know, I don't need to hang out with those Christians all the week. Prayer here and there, not all day, not all the time, as the Bible tells us. Then he will start to bring doubt to your mind, doubt about your value, making you believe that you cannot do anything, that you are a failure. He can subtly isolate you, then make you believe that your life has no value. Satan's concern is not to enrich you, but to be enriched by you. And the third thing that the verse tells us here, that what a thief comes to do is to destroy. And he seeks to destroy your defenses and your freedom by taking you away from the Word of God, by drawing you away from your fellowship with the saints, breaking the relationship with your kids, maybe with your spouse, your parents, and by drawing you away from prayer and replacing all these things with those things that will place you under what? His bondage. So, does all the chaos in our world today surprise you? It shouldn't. As you see all the nonsense with humanity today, does that surprise you? Humans have sought to find other ways than the door, because it is easy. It is easy to break through and get inside that place. So that's their sinful nature, due to the original sin. Remember, back in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve had disobeyed God, and because of that, separation from God took place. That sinful nature keeps people away from God, and that makes the enemy, Satan, happy. They try different ways to find a God other than Jesus Christ, to find a true God for their lives. So the enemy uses sin to control them. He uses addictions as a way of freedom, because it is cool to get high on drugs. You can control it. You will have control over all your vices, over the alcohol, control over pornography and other addictions right there. Don't worry, you can control it. So at first, he offers people freedom to enjoy their lives and all these things. And then he does what? Enslaves them, right? He makes them their slaves, his slaves. Once you fall into his trap, you realize that what he really has to offer you is a kingdom of darkness and death. And that is in total contrast to what Jesus Christ offers you. Jesus does not come to take from you, but what? To give to you. In contrast to those who come to steal and abuse the sheep, Jesus is a caring shepherd who takes care of the sheep. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. To counterattack the enemy's threat, Jesus assumes the role of protector. Jesus is the agent of holiness, of eternal life, of secure pasture, and of release from the realm of darkness, a life beyond our wildest dreams. Most of us here have received the gift of salvation from God through Jesus Christ. So, we are saved. I am saved. We are saved. Life is good. I am saved. Things are great. I am saved. So, life looks good and feels good because I have an abundant life that I received from Jesus Christ. And you go, wait a minute. How come we have an abundant life if bad things happen to good people every day, everywhere? If we are saved and sealed by Christ, how come we continue to suffer? We continue to have pain, chronic pain. Or am I wrong? We don't face those challenges. We don't suffer. Oh yeah, we do. We still have wars. Innocent children, innocent people die in terrible ways. And it's happening right now as we peacefully gather here. I heard a heartbreaking story that a family from Ukraine that was here in Cochrane, a mom and her kids, her husband who stayed back to fight in the war was killed. How sad is that? How devastating is that for this family? So, and it's still, though all those things are happening while we are gathering here, peacefully gathering here tonight to worship, to praise God, to come into His presence, to hear from Him. So we still suffer and see suffering because we live in a sinful and fallen world. God does not alienate us from this fallen world after we surrender our lives to Jesus Christ. So do we still suffer? Yes. Do we still have pain? Absolutely. Do we still cry? Do we still face depression? Yes. 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 Because we are and we will still be living in a fallen world. If Christians were immune to these things, people would come to God for the wrong reason. For fear instead of love. If someone claims that Jesus has given them a prosperous and perfect life with everything they can have, no health issues, again, no back pain, like myself, you know, I wish that would be good, a perfect family, no challenges, no problems, that's a misinterpretation of the gospel message. In John 16, Jesus said, "In this world you have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." And then someone will go, "Well, Pastor, you don't have all these because you don't have faith." I can tell you, nobody can experience a truly and abundant life that Jesus Christ gives in this world. Okay? That's the difference. Now that you may have been shocked with this phrase, let me explain myself to you here. When we surrender our lives to Jesus and abundantly desire to live for Him, will we have an unspeakable joy? Yes. Will we be content? Yes. Will we experience comfort, happiness, and peace that surpasses all understanding? Yes, yes, and yes. We absolutely will, because our hearts are not on things of this world, but in the hope and assurance that Jesus Christ gives us to experience the eternal life He had promised. That beautiful place with no more sorrow, no more death, no more tears, no more pain, that we read in Revelation, where we will be able to experience God's presence for eternity. That's the abundant life that Jesus Christ came to offer us. And I said before that the enemy can steal, kill, and destroy, and not will, because our lives were redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross. And we are sealed with God's Holy Spirit and the enemy, and nobody can take away our assurance for the eternal life that Christ promises. Amen? The enemy does not have any power to attack you if not allowed by God. Right? God is still in control. He was, He is, and He will be ever in control of everything here. So, sometimes God allows people, including Christians, to go to the lowest point on their of their lives, to the rock bottom, to the very deepest place one can go. And then He goes, "Do I have your attention now? Can you look at Me now? Can you see Me? Can you experience My voice?" Some people still don't see. Others realize and come back to a transformed life, a pure intense desire to live for Him. You don't know you need God until all you have and depend on is God. How powerful that is. Once you see your need, you can't unsee it. Once you see what God offers you, you can't unsee it. Once you really experience what Christ offers you, you will not give that up. You will not go back to your old life. Once you understand how Christ suffered for you, what He gave to you, you are not going to let that go. Right? So, Mozambique, in the 90s here, Heidi and Roland Baker, they were starting an orphanage during the 90s and early 2000s there. and a devastating civil war was in that country. They had a devastating civil war, extreme poverty, homeless kids, starvation. People were scavenging for over 10 hours a day looking for food in the only source they had available, the garbage dump. You can imagine the horrible situation. On top of that, a flood had devastated most of the country. So they were there to share the gospel message with those people, with those kids. So how could they talk and share with people about an abundant life that Christ would offer? How could they help? Truth is, they felt they couldn't help. Not with the resources they had. Even their team was struggling to eat, because how could they, if hundreds around them would not have any food to eat for days, sometimes for weeks? They were struggling to keep their sanity, to keep their orphanage going, as kids were almost dead, kept coming every day, non-stop. So what could they do? What did they have to offer? Just one thing: their faith in Jesus Christ. And their faith in Jesus would have to be enough. They would have to trust Him to feed them. They would have to trust Him to Jesus to carry them. Only Jesus would be able to heal them. Only Jesus could restore them and care for them like a good shepherd. They needed to see and experience a miracle, or several of them. And Christ did. I remember when their orphanage was raided by the military and they are kicked out. They went to the house. Over 200 kids inside the house. And someone came to offer them a meal. And they look at the pot, you know, and they said to the person who brought the meal, "Thank you, but that will not be enough for everybody here." And the person, when they opened the house, the person saw all those kids inside. You know, they had faith. They prayed and they start serving. And they filled every single bowl for every single person in that house. And that pot was enough to feed everyone. How great that is. So Christ will show up. They had seen and experienced so many miracles. People were saved, restored, and healed. Over the years, God had used that couple, Hyde and Roland Baker, to plant over 10,000 churches in that country. So even the most desperate poverty, the most devastating illness, the most heart-wrenching grief is not beyond God's help. No, it is not. Whatever you are, whatever you're facing, you can still reach out to God. This full life is not something we earn or achieve on our own. No, it's not. As I said before, it's a free gift by Jesus Christ. It's a gift that was conquered to us on that cross. But like any precious gift, we must receive it. We must open our hearts to Him, confess our need for Him, and choose to follow Him as our Lord and Savior. Perhaps today some of you feel far from this full life that Jesus Christ is offering you. Maybe that thief is has been whispering lies in your ears, stealing your joy and leaving you feeling empty. Maybe the burdens of this world feel heavy and the path ahead seems uncertain. But I want to remind you of the powerful promise of Jesus Christ in this verse. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. So his invitation stands open to you, to everyone today. He's ready to pour out his life into yours, to fill you with his Holy Spirit and to lead you into a life of abundance, a life that you one day will experience in heaven. That perfect life that we so look forward, right? We so look forward because we leave all our pains and sorrow behind in this place. So, the answer that I have, that I want you to ask yourself tonight is, will I choose the life that Jesus offers? Will I turn away from the empty promises of the thief and embrace the fullness found only in Jesus Christ? And you know, I hope if you need to make this decision, I hope you will. I truly do. But that is something that only you can do. Nobody else, absolutely nobody else can do it for you. Not even those people that love you the most in this planet here can do that for you. It's a personal decision. Jesus Christ is calling you for a personal relationship with him. And I am sure that your reward will be amazing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your message tonight, Father God. We thank you for the full life that Jesus Christ offers us, Father. And we so look for the day that we will be experiencing that. And Father, as we live, as we continue to live in this world here, Father, as we continue to work, as we continue, Father God, to have relationship, friends, to go to school, Lord, everything that we do, Father, we ask that you be using us. Father God, to bring this message of hope to those people that are surrounding us, Father, to those people that we deeply love and we want to see them with us in heaven, Father. So allow us, Father God, to be fearfully sharing your word, Father God, sharing the love of Jesus Christ. And Father God, guide us according to your will. We thank you and praise your name. In Christ's name, Lord. Amen. Thank you. God bless you.